All right. We may be connected. Good morning, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. And welcome there. All right. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's Palm Sunday. And it's the start, traditionally, it's the start of Holy Week. It's called Holy Week, and we're going to talk about this out of John, and we're going to go through a few scriptures from John 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and maybe get into a little bit of 12. Not every scripture. Not every scripture. Last week, or in this past week, I did a podcast on the opposition that Jesus Christ faced. I did a podcast on the enmity that Jesus Christ faced. On the enmity is a hatred unto death. And I tried to illustrate out of there, out of the book of John, out of a very few verses in the book of John, that there was a deep-seated hatred between Jesus Christ and what the Bible calls the Jews. This isn't my term, it's the Bible's term. And I said, look, there's a deep hatred between Jesus Christ and the Jews. The Jews are trying to kill Jesus Christ. And we're going to go through those scriptures this morning. I said, this is not something that somebody made up. You go through line by line in the Holy Scriptures, and the Jews are trying to kill Jesus Christ. According to Jesus Christ, according to the Holy Scriptures, and Jesus Christ looks at the Jews, and he looks at the Jews, and he says to the Jews, he says, look, you're of your father, the devil. Well, so much for inner religious dialogue, right? He looks at the Jews, he says, you are of your father, the devil. And the Jews look at him, and he says, and the Jews look at Jesus, and they says, you are demon-possessed. You're demon-possessed, Jesus. And Jesus says, you're of your father, the devil. And Jesus says, why are you trying to kill me? They said, oh, what do you mean we're trying? We're not trying to kill you. So we're going to go through that a little bit this morning. John chapter 7, verse 1. By the way, where does this hatred come from? It comes from Genesis 3:15. It's in the Garden of Eden. They're in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve, they sin. Jesus Christ confronts them. Adam and Eve and the serpent. The Lord confronts them. The Lord confronts them. And one of the things he says is, I'm going to put enmity, a deep-seated hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. What's the seed of the serpent? Well, it's the same as the children of the devil. The seed of is the offspring of, the children of. And the serpent and the devil are the same thing. So when Jesus Christ says in John 8:48 to the Jews, you're of your father the devil, he's simply reflecting on what happened, what he said himself in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity and hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Who's the seed of the woman? It's Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. Who's the father of Jesus Christ? It's God. It's God the Father. The Father of Jesus Christ is God the Father. He wasn't a Samaritan like the Jews proclaimed. He wasn't born of fornication like the Jews proclaimed. By the way, the Jews committed the unpardonable sin. It wasn't you and Johnny and Susie. The Jews committed the unpardonable sin in that they blasphemed the Holy Spirit by claiming that the conception of Jesus Christ was through fornication or a Samaritan. When in fact it was the Holy Spirit himself that caused the conception of Jesus Christ in the virgin woman. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit a second time when Jesus Christ is casting out devils by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. And the Jews go around and they blaspheme and they say, hey, he casts out demons by Beelzebul. On two counts, they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The unforgivable sin, which will not be forgiven in this life or the next. This was the Jews. Don't become a Jew. It's funny how many people become Jews. Marilyn Monroe became a Jew. All kinds of Sammy Davis Jr., dancer, he became a Jew. A lot of people become Jews. Why I become a Jew? Why? Why? The Khazarians became Jews. Book of Esther talks about many people joining themselves to the Jews. Many, many different people joined themselves to the Jews in Esther chapter 8, verse 17. Why join the Jews? Why become a Jew? It's a picture of little Georgie Bush out there carrying around a little Talmud, got a little cap on his head, joining the Jews. Why? Why are you doing this? All right. So there's a hatred between Jesus Christ and the Jews. There's a deep-seated hatred. It's a hatred unto death. Comes out of, you can see where the origin was in Genesis 3:15. When Jesus Christ shows up, he never, ever, ever, ever got along with the Jews. Didn't get along with them. Never. There wasn't a period of time when, like, you know what? Oh, we have a, you know, a wonderful relationship, and then there was some falling out. No. From the very beginning, from his, before his birth, they're trying to kill him. From before his birth. Y'all know the story of King Herod and the wise men. Wise men are looking for Jesus, and the chief priests and the scribes, they told Herod where to find him. So Herod could what? So he could murder him. Herod was an Edomite Jew. His ancestry was from Esau. But he joined the Jews, converted to the Jews, and they tried to murder Jesus Christ. They had to flee to Egypt. Had to flee to Egypt. Why? Why join yourselves to the Jews? Why lift them up and herald them and say, oh, what a great, wonderful people they are? From the very beginning, there's aught between the Son of Man, between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. You're either on the side of Jesus Christ or the Antichrist peoples. So there's this enmity, a hatred between Jesus Christ and the Jews. John chapter 7, verse 1, after these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Who was trying to kill him? The Jews. John chapter 7, verse 1. So Galilee is up north. Judea is down in the south. He says, I don't even want to go there anymore. They're trying to kill me. So Jesus stayed away from, this is all part of the Palm Sunday sermon. Jesus was staying away from Judea. He was staying away from that land of the Jews down south. He was staying up in Galilee. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. Later on, he stayed in Galilee, verse 9. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself went up to the feast, but not publicly. He sent his disciples and his brothers. He said, y'all go down to the feast. You go down to the feast and get ready for Passover. I'm staying up here. This is hard. This is hard, guys. I'll go back to verse 3. Verse 2. Now, the feast of the Jews, the feast of the booths, was near. Therefore, his brother said to him, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples may see your works, which you're doing. For not even his brothers were believing in him. And Jesus said, look, my time's not come yet. You guys go up to the feast yourselves. I don't go up to the feast because my time's not come. Having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. Why is he staying in Galilee? Well, verse 1. After these things, he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. He knew to go down there would be to get killed. Jesus Christ knew that to go to Judea was to get killed. He says, no, y'all go down there. What's my point in this? Look, he was scared. He was a man like ourselves, facing all the same emotions and temptations and fears. And he was scared. He was scared. He was scared. He ceased walking in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. He stayed up in Galilee. And then the feast is coming. He tells his brothers, he says, you got go ahead and go. My time's not come yet. I imagine Jesus Christ could have said, you know what, I'm never going down there. I'm not going down there. I'm going to live a nice little life up here in Galilee. This is what terrifies me about this. He had a choice. We have a choice. You and I have a choice. We got a choice. So later on, he went down there to Jerusalem. And the Jews were seeking him at the feast, saying, "Where is he?" There was much grumbling amongst the crowd concerning him. Some were saying he was a good man. Others were saying, "No, he's contrary. He leads people astray." Yet no one was speaking openly of Jesus Christ for fear of the Jews. This is verse 13. Who were they afraid of? They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of the Jews. They said, "We don't want to acknowledge him or talk to him because we're terrified of the Jews." But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished at his teaching. "How can this man become so learned, have never been educated?" Jesus said, "Look, my teaching is not mine. Teaching comes from God. Did not Moses give you the law, and none of you carries out the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" Anybody that says that the Jews didn't kill Jesus Christ is contrary to what Jesus Christ said. He's telling them to their faces, "Why are you seeking to kill me?" The crowd answered and said, "You have a demon who seeks to kill you." This ought to answer some questions on who killed Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Why are you trying to kill me?" And the Jews turn around and they look at him and they said, "You have a demon. You have a demon. You have a demon." Wow, really? Wow. Verse 25. So some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, "Is this not the man they are seeking to kill?" Who was trying to kill him? The Jews were. It wasn't the Romans. We'll see that later. We'll see that on probably this Friday. We learn about the crucifixion. And the European man, Pontius Pilate, three times, I find no guilt in this man. Three times he said this, "I find no guilt in this man." And the Jews say, "Crucify him." Chapter 7, verse 35. The Jews then said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we do not find him?" Oh, by the way, listen to this. "Where does this man intend to go that we do not find him? He's not intending to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, is he?" Very key verse. A lot of people miss it. He's not going to go to the dispersion. The dispersion of what? The dispersion of the 12 tribes of Israel among the Greeks. They knew where the 12 tribes went. They went to Europe. He's not going to go to the dispersion of the 12 tribes among the Greeks, among the European peoples, and teach the Europeans, is he? Turns out the answer is absolutely yes. That's why all the Holy Scriptures are written in a European tongue since the resurrection. 100% all of them are written in a European tongue. Bye-bye Hebrew. No more Aramaic. All right. Chapter 8. This is a rather controversial set of scriptures. Chapter 8, verse 40. This is Jesus Christ to the Jews. "But as it is, you are seeking to kill me." Jesus looks at him. He says, "You are seeking to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, were you not born of fornication? Okay, they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Weren't you born of fornication? And Jesus, and they claim to be from God. These Jews claim to be from God. Okay, that's nothing's changed in 2,000 years. The Jews still claim to be that God is their father. They do have a father, and his name is Lucifer. The Jews have a father, his name is Lucifer. We're going to get to that. Jesus said to the Jews, he says, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me." Why don't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't hear my word. You cannot even hear it. You are of your father, the devil. The Jews today claim that God's their father, but Jesus looks at him, he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." He was a murderer from the beginning, and he doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But I speak the truth, and you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He was of God. Here's the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Don't ever say that the Jews are God's chosen people. Never say that. Jesus Christ completely, 100% contradicts you. He looks at the Jews and he says, you can't even hear my word because you are of your father, the devil. Your father is a liar and he's a murderer from the beginning, and you do the deeds of your father. Don't ever say that these modern Jews are God's chosen people. Jesus Christ didn't say that 2,000 years ago. Nothing's changed. This is a modern day heresy, if there ever was one. How did the Jews respond? Well, the Jews answered, and he said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Please notice the enmity and the hatred between Jesus Christ and the Jews. Jesus looks at the Jews, he says, you're of your father the devil. The Jews look at Jesus and say, you have a demon. You're not overcoming this. There's no inner faith, coalition of peace and harmony. Why do we try to undo what God did? Go all the way back to Genesis 3:15. It's the Almighty himself who said, I'll put hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And we see it in full force in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Full force in the Gospel according to St. John. And we're going to solve this? We're going to undo what God did? We're going to contradict Jesus Christ on who the true people of God are and who the children of the devil are? Wow, church. So setting the stage for Palm Sunday, there's a deep-seated hatred between the Jews and Jesus Christ. And the Jews were trying to murder Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knew it. He talked about it. He said it. He was very open about it. You're trying to kill me. Why are you trying to kill me? You've got the law of God, and you still contradict the law of God by trying to murder me? He didn't say this to the Roman man. He didn't say this to the European man. He said this to the Jew. Oh, but, you know, the Jew in the Gospel of John, it means something different. No. Stop making excuses for the Word of God. It's over and over and over and over and over. And you're falling into the lies of the Jews when they try to get you to disown and distance yourself from what the Word of God plainly says. The Word of God is eternal. These people who call themselves Jews are not. Verse 59, chapter 8. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God. So there you go, the enmity. Verse 22, they were afraid of the Jews. They're afraid of the Jews. Chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. What do the Jews do? The Jews pick up stones again to stone him. Jesus Christ repeats himself, verse 38, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. 11, verse 46, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done, they did believe in him. Many did. But still, we know what happens at the end. Jesus, this is chapter 12. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Bethany is just outside of Jerusalem. So he traveled out. Now he travels out of Galilee. The stage is set with the enmity, the deep-seated hatred between the Jews and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knows they're going to kill him. He sends everybody down there. You go ahead to Jerusalem. My time's not come yet. And then he has to make a decision. What am I going to do? This is the hard part. This is the hard part for me. He makes a decision. He says, I'm going to go down to Judea and face my own death. That's the hard part for me. And, when one looks at one's own life and say, you know what? We all have choices to make. What choice are we going to do? Are we going to pick up a cross and follow him? Are we going to try to seek and save our own life? And this is terrifying to me. I know what I need to do. I know what I want to do. Yet it's very real. And Jesus Christ faced very real fears. They knew he was going to get murdered. He knew he was going to get murdered at the hands of the Jews. So that's why he stayed in Galilee. Now here's Jesus says, you know what? Even though they're going to murder me, I'm going to go down there. So he goes down there. He spends the night in Bethany. At Bethany, he's being prepared for his sacrifice. They made him a supper. Martha was serving, and Lazarus was there. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was full of its fragrance. The sacrifice was being prepared. The sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ was being prepared. His body is anointed with pure nard. On the next day, this would now be Palm Sunday, today. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches of the palm tree and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when they called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met him, because they heard that he performed the sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you're not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him." All right? So the Jews are jealous of their power. They're jealous of their position. They had control over people. That's why people were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of the Jews. Everybody was afraid of the Jews because they controlled the society back then as it is today. Because their father's the devil. And Jesus Christ comes to turn this upside down. So they're like, "Listen, we got to do something. We got to get rid of this guy. We got to murder him." Jesus knew they're going to murder him. We've been talking about that. John 7 forward. Even before John 7, the Jews tried to murder him. Jesus said, "I'm not going to go down there. I'm not going down to Judea. I'm not going down to Jerusalem. They're trying to kill me down there." And at some point, he turned to face his fears, and he had to march down there. Terrifying. Because he knew what they were going to do to him. Now, just a minute ago, I spoke about how Jesus Christ said, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." And the Jews looked at each other. He says, "He's not going to the dispersion amongst the Greeks, is he?" The Europe is a key portion of this. He's not going to where the 12 tribes of Israel went. The dispersion, and if you want more evidence of this, James 1:1, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad. What does that mean, dispersed abroad? It means overseas from Jerusalem. You got to go across the ocean to get to Europe. They didn't go to anywhere but Europe. They went to Europe. Why did they go to Europe? Yeah, that's for another podcast, another sermon. We know they went there. Why do you think all the books of the Bible are written in a European language? They're not written in African, not written in Chinese or Hindu, not written in Hebrew anymore, not written in Aramaic anymore, not written in Egyptian hieroglyphics. They're written in the European tongue, Greek. Why do you think Paul goes to Europe? Why do you think Paul goes to Europe? By the way, Jesus didn't come for anybody but the lost children of the house of Israel. Yeah, he scatters a few favors here and there. The Samaritan woman. He looks at the Samaritan woman, "I didn't come for you. I didn't come for your kind. I didn't come for your kin. I didn't come for your race. I didn't come for your ethnos. It's not good to take the children's food and give it to dogs. Woman, you're a dog and your kid's a dog, demon-possessed daughter." And she said, "Look, Lord, you're right. I am a dog. But even the dogs get scraps from the master's table." And Jesus said, "Oh, okay, that's a good answer." And he casts a demon out of her daughter. What a wonderful story. And how contrary to what a modern pastor would do. A modern pastor would say, oh, we're going to take care of you, honey. And they prayed it all around and said, look at me. Look how righteous I am. Taking care of a double minority with a special needs child. Look at me. Look how righteous I am. I'm not racist, sexist, or homophobic, or transphobic, or queerphobic, or intolerant, or divisive like that Jesus was. Looks at the Samaritan woman and he says, he calls her a dog. Modern preacher would try to prove how righteous he is in the eyes of the Jews. I'm telling you. All right. The Jews are worried that he's going to go to the dispersion amongst the Greeks in Europe. Now, move forward a few chapters. Chapter 12, verse 30. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. Then these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee. I think there was only one disciple from Judea, and that was Judas Iscariot. I think all the rest were Galileans. By the way, Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and they began to ask him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them and said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The Europeans are seeking Jesus Christ. The European man is seeking Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, "Okay, now it's time. Now it's time. Now it's time for me to be glorified." Powerful, powerful statement and testimony regarding European man. Later on, we'll see how Pontius Pilate, we'll get that next week. Three times he declared, "I find no guilt in this man. I find no guilt in this man. I find no," and the Jews demanded that he be crucified. Now, nevertheless, even many of the rulers believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, who are the Pharisees? They're the leaders of the Jews. Modern-day rabbis trace their origins to the Pharisees. Okay, there's no more Sadducees, there's no more chief priests, there's no more house of Levi, there's no more priestly class or clan. Anybody could become a Pharisee. All right, and the modern-day Jew, their rabbis trace their lineage to the Pharisees of old, an evil group of people. Not that they were evil on the outside. They all looked good, had nice moral lives. Nice moral lives. What was their evil? The hatred of Jesus Christ. The hatred towards Jesus Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. What was it to be kicked out of the synagogue? You know, we think today, Fritz got kicked out of his church. And just like, there's 50 other churches to go to. And if you got kicked out of church, nobody cares. It doesn't even rise to the level of anybody even caring. Back then, if you weren't a member in good standing in your synagogue, you couldn't rent a house. You couldn't rent your own house to somebody else. Nobody would hire you. Nobody would do business with you. You were exiled from the economic community. You were demonetized and you were deplatformed. Getting kicked out of the synagogue was getting demonetized and deplatformed and depersoned. Now you're a non-entity. You're a non-person. This still goes on today. Goes on today. You cross the Jews. Ask Candace Owens. Go ask Candace Owens what happens when you cross the Jews. Get fired. Bye-bye. See ya. Adios. Can't work for whatever organization that run by that little Jewish guy, squeaky little guy. Get kicked out, get demonetized, depersoned. I got a little experience with that. Here's the bottom line. Jesus Christ had to make a choice to march down and face the Jews, knowing that he was going to be crucified. He enters Jerusalem Palm Sunday. They all greet him. Great deal of controversy over Jesus Christ, but he knew he was marching down there to his death. And did it scare him? Yes, it scared him. It scared him. We see right there, we see in John 7, verse 1, that he stayed in Galilee because the Jews were going to kill him down there. And then his brothers say, "It's time to go to the feast." He looks at his brother and says, "You go ahead and go. My time's not come." He needed to chew that over a little bit. He was scared. He was scared. But he finally makes a decision. He says, I got to do this. I got to do this work. And he goes down there. And in the context of this, the Jews know he's going to go to Europe. Where's he going? He's going to the dispersion amongst the Greeks, amongst the Europeans. Then Andrew and Philip come up to him and said, "Hey, the Greeks are looking for you. European man's looking for you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Now's the time for the Son of Man to be glorified." All right. That's it. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com. I will be putting this up at bloodandfaith.com. and as a recorded conversation here in a little bit. And we'll see you later. Come and see me. Happy Sunday.